Amen. Welcome to the squash church, where we all squash in together. I put the heating on, Tammy went, turn the heating off. So it's gone off. We don't need the heating, we have body heat. Awesome. Is there some water? Awesome. Okay. Let's just wait a moment as people come in. Let me just share with you some stuff. And you know what? And I share it not out of, oh, look at me, look what I've done, because it's nothing to do with me. It was so good while I was away in Grimsby last week to hear that you had a good Sunday morning amongst all the messing around, going from there to here and trying to get messages out for people to come here instead of to the school. And the guy's done an awesome job setting up church quickly and getting you in. There was conversations going on with, it was on a speakerphone in the car. There was conversations, mind in case I step on you. There was conversations going on between me and Tam. She's going, no one's here yet. And I'm like, I can't do anything, I'm driving to Grimsby. We'll go to the school. So we'll come out of school and go to church. But you know what, I'm so pleased that there was, new water, that you had a good morning. You know, I had a fantastic morning as well up in Grimsby. A fantastic morning was had here. And you know, I had a really great morning. I'll make it less. In Grimsby as well. There was breakthrough for people emotionally, spiritually, at the end when we prayed. And there was healing that way. And I was just sharing with Terry a minute ago, there was a lady came forward and she'd had a broken bone, two broken bones in the centre of her back for the last 2 years. She'd been in pain. And so we had the privilege of praying with her and for her. And we asked her part way through and said, how's that doing? She was like, the pain's a little bit less. She was like, cool, that's not good enough. We're going to pray some more. So we prayed some more. And then there were some of the other ladies from the church, bless you, some of the other ladies from the church who were praying as well for this lady. And then all of a sudden we finished, and they're all going like this, wow. And basically the lady had come up to me like this, with these two broken bones. And when she walked away like this. And no pain. Awesome. God's awesome, isn't he? God's awesome. You know, just so a really great morning. So 1 Corinthians 11, and we're doing the second half of the chapter, verse 17 to 34. Has anyone read it? Yeah. We're going to keep asking every week. Has anyone read 1 Corinthians 11 this week?
Yeah.
Good. The Lord's Supper. Let me just say something before we get into it. When we read it and we see the headline, the Lord's Supper, or whatever headline is in your Bible, and we go, right, okay, the whole thing is about how to do the Lord's Supper, how to take communion. Actually, that is right in one sense. But at first, there's why do we take communion? And the last bit is how. But also in the first bit as well is how not to take communion, how not to partake in the Lord's Supper. So we're going to read it, and then we're going to get into it, okay? And at the end of that, then we'll take communion. So verse 17 of chapter 11. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you. Because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part. You know what? We're coming to near the end of 1 Corinthians in the next 4 or 5 weeks. And if you remember at the beginning of 1 Corinthians, Paul dealt with division in the church. Okay, the first sort of couple of chapters he spoke about. And it's such an important thing in his heart and in his mind that he speaks about it again. Okay? So, and I believe in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognised. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat, for in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I receive from the Lord what I also deliver to you. We're just going to stop there. Just for a minute. Okay. We're just going to stop there. So why do you take communion? Anyone? Anyone want to put their hand up? Hazard a guess? It's all right, it's not a trick question. Why do you take communion? Yeah? To remember him? Jesus, it's a command, isn't it? Jesus commanded us, do this in remembrance of me. Cool? Okay. It's good. It's a good answer. It's not a wrong answer. Doesn't matter. It's not a wrong answer. But the thing is, the Corinthian church were getting it wrong. Just by rereading that first section, the Corinthian church were getting it wrong. Okay? Paul says that when they came together, they were making a mockery of the Lord's Supper by maintaining this unity. Okay? So, even in their coming together as a church, breaking into factions. So, cliques. The rich here, the poor there, older people over there, younger people over there, families and kids over there. It can happen today as well, can't it? So, we can add a few more groups. Nationalities, tribes, skin colour. But that's not God's plan. Anyone know that that's God's plan? Is that God's plan? For us all to be separate? It's not, is it? It's not the point. He wants to bring all people together. Inclusive, it's called. Inclusive. Not exclusive. Church is not exclusive. Christianity is not exclusive. It's about bringing people in, and we'll have a little example of it a little bit later. Okay? There are no exclusions with God. You see, that's not to say that factions are wrong in the sense of it's good to meet up with people that speak the same language. It's good to meet up with people that have the same sort of thought life as you, okay? Have things in common as you. Maybe you're all accountants and you want to meet together and speak about accountancy. Or maybe, as I do at times, meet up with a group of pastors and we talk about pastoral things, church, okay? Or work youth leaders or children or youth or older people that talk about whatever you find in your interest. It's fine. Interest groups are fine. But there is a but. Just because it's easier for language or culturally, because they understand where I'm from, we must not fall into the trap that that's all we need. Might be a bit thingy, but if I was going to go and plant a church, oh, we are. Yeah. We're planting a church in Kenya later this year. Yeah. She's going to be awesome. Going out there in June for 1 week, and then we're going to go back out there again, and we're going to plant the church. Not just because we've got but because we've got a connection with a guy in Kenya who runs a children's orphanage. He's a pastor, and we've been connected for about 3 years, and he just said, like, he's been listening to our preaching, said, can you plant a Restore church here? I was like, yeah, of course we can, after we checked him out. And it's really cool, because we have connections for him through Esther and family. So it's really cool. So we're going to go and plant this church. Now, when we go out there, am I going to go and plant a church that's for the English in Kenya? No. No. I'm going to go and plant a church that for anybody in that area can come to. I might preach in English if I'm out there. Someone will translate into different languages. But that's what God wants us to do. It's not about your country or your country or your... let's have a youth church. So at what point do you not allow to go to the youth church anymore? Do you know what I mean? You get kicked out at 35. That might be a bit old. 21, 22... Are you then kicked out? You can't go on a Sunday no more. You've had your 21st birthday. You turn up a church one Sunday and they go, no, sorry, you've had your 21st birthday. You've got to go to another church now. See, factions, groups are good, but not when they're to the detriment of anyone else. Okay. It's one of the reasons why I love our town. It's one of the reasons why I love this town. Diversity. It's reflected here. Look around you. Look around you. Not just different colours, not just different nationalities, but different upbringing, different backgrounds, okay? Different age groups. It's good. Should be celebrated. I'd hate to be part of a church where everybody was the same. Where everyone was the same colour, or everyone was of the same social background. I couldn't stand it. Would drive me nuts. Okay, when God's people come together, it's a really beautiful thing. A really beautiful thing. Okay, it's a melting pot. I need to say it because sometimes I don't know if you hear it completely when we're in worship, but sometimes in worship, Daniela will start singing in Romanian, and I love it. I love it, Bob. I encourage you, sometimes in a song, learn the song. Daniela's learning it in Romanian, and sing. Do you know what? Just because the band may be singing it in English, doesn't mean that you have to sing it. Please, I love it. Sing it in your native tongue. If I did, none of them would understand us. Got me. Rhyming slang, I'd find all the words for rhyming slang. So, nothing wrong with groups meeting up. It's awesome, isn't it, to meet with people. Maybe you all like a certain kind of food, and just to come together around the table with that certain kind of food, you know, and just spend some time together. But you must be open for other people to join. It would be easier if everyone was like me. I don't know if we'd have a church, but if everyone was like me, we'd all fall out after a while. And it'll be, yeah, because this is the problem. If everyone was like me, if there's a seat next to you, please put your hand up, or a couple of seats. Awesome. Christy, there's some seats around as well. Brilliant. You see, the thing is, I'm right. You may be right, but I am right. Okay? And that's an issue with my family. We're all right. So when we get together, Tammy walks away from me, my brother and my dad, because all of us are right. Whatever we're talking about, we are all completely right. So you imagine that, everyone the same as me, in a church, it'd get boring as well. Bill Johnson says this. I love this. My wife gave it to me the other night and I thought, wow, that's really cool. You can't have unity without diversity. Otherwise, it's uniformity. Everyone's the same. Diversity just isn't about where you're from. In that sense, it can also be where you're from inside. Paul had already corrected them on their theological division in chapter 1, 10 to 16. Let's have a quick look on what he said. Chapter 1, 10 to 16. And he says this. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and there that be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by close people that there is quarrelling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Paul now brings a judgment against the Corinthians, that their ways of coming together are bad, that their ways of coming together are wrong. What they are doing is creating division among the church, when the church is supposed to be a place where division is melted away and unity is formed in its place, where fellowship and unity should reign. It's alright, they're lovely, they're fine. Where fellowship and unity should reign. Not so that we become an exclusive club where people don't feel welcome, right, or feel that they can't be part of. Okay, let's just try saying, I was hoping for a little bit more room, but we haven't, so we're just going to work with it. Okay. Youth, get off phones a minute. Come stand. Girls. Boys, get off phone. Come. Form a circle. Ben, Christian, get off your butts. Form a circle. Do you know what a circle is? Have you been to school this week? I think we'll have a half-term school at church next week. No, we won't, parents, okay? Right, can you all lock arms? That's it, there are boys and girls. You need to lock arms, Mimi. Come on, lock arms. Okay, so... is this inclusive? Is there unity? There's unity, isn't there? There's unity. Now, you're not to let me in. Don't let me in.
Yes,
alright? So, no, don't let me in. Can I get in? Is it unity? Is there unity here? In this group? They're united in the fact they're not going to let me in. So there's unity, okay? There's unity here. Boys, open. Open.
There's not unity.
Shh, stay as you are. Is there still unity? Why not? Is there still unity? Are they still linked? Are they still caring for each other? Do they still look at each other? Yeah? Can everyone? Yeah? But I can join, can't I? But I'm not going to join like that, because otherwise what I've done is formed a little club again. We're in unity. But you know what? We're open-ended. That means anyone can come and join us. Anyone can come and join us. Anyone can come and speak with us. We can share. Guys, go and sit. Thank you. Young people, you're awesome. Share together. You see, the difference in the two circles, well, in the closed circle and the open-ended group, was this. Paul talked about factions. They were still a faction. Okay? They were still a faction of young people. But they were open to other people joining. Okay? That's unity and inclusivity. Okay? Really important. Really important. Because if the church forms the first circle, we're in defence of Jesus. You're wearing a skirt that's too short. all your trousers are too skinny, your ears spiked up, and we don't like it. Then actually what we do is we die as that group. We die in that circle, and no one else knows about Jesus. You may have heard about Jesus, but no one else will, because you've closed yourself off. We're actually the second group of being open. They're inclusive. They're still a faction, but anyone can join them. People can come. In fact, the outside ones... See, this is the thing. If you have a group and a church, the same happens. The same happens in a church, okay? If we're all facing inwards, we're just a club of Jesus lovers. But we're not actually Jesus followers. Because Jesus told us to go out into all the world. Okay? And reach the world. Reach the people who are lost with his love. Okay? Is it very loving to be an enclosed group? Maybe to each other, but not to no one else. So we need to be open. Okay? Which is why we do all what we do in this church. It's why we do all what we do. We all have this in common, that we all believe in Jesus Christ, that he came to save us, that he came and rescued us from a dark ending, from hell. And yet actually, if we just keep that, I've said it before, we just become a stagnant pond that does nothing and everything dies in it. Okay. The difference is now, although they are in unity, they're also open to others. To love each other and to others. So what was happening in Corinth? In the early church, they had the love feast. It was something that preceded the Lord's Supper. And all the churches were doing it. And they were doing it correctly. In Corinth, the scene was of riot, of people showing off their wealth and their luxury, trying to impress people with what they have. And inevitably, there was also jealousy. Okay, what we need to understand is that the Corinthian Christians came from a culture where the pagans had wild parties in honour of pagan gods. Okay, which is why it didn't seem strange for them to do what they did. Eat for themselves. Have a party and eat for themselves. In the love feast of the early church, each brought his own supply of food, which was put into a common stock and shared by all alike. Does that sound familiar? Bring and share? Bring and share? You bring food. Good movement. You bring food and we put it on the table and everyone shares it. What the Corinthians were doing when they would turn up is, if someone had lots of money, wealth, and would bring a potload of food, right? And I love it when someone brings a potload of food, right? Because there's so much food for everybody, okay? And that's awesome, so it should be, right? What the Corinthian church were doing was this. They were going, the people who were wealthy, coming with a big pot of food, and in their group, they were the only ones eating it. And if they brought drink, they were the ones who were drinking it. And then they would allow the poorer people to eat. Where for me, our bring and share. Someone brings a big pot, and someone can only bring, I don't know, maybe they've got no money that week, and they bring 4 slices of bread. Are they welcome to eat? Yeah. Yeah. Or if, what if they come with nothing? Welcome to eat, aren't they? You know? Because we all gather around one common purpose. Jesus. It doesn't matter what we don't have in common. What's important is what we have in common. Okay? There's enough provision for everyone. At Corinth, each family or group retained their own provisions. which meant there was a distinction made between the haves and the have-nots. And this caused a lot of unrest between the church, and it has no part in Jesus. It's not what we are called to be. It's unworthy of our calling. It's unworthy of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Love people. The early comers, as I said, just ate and drunk their food. The meal was not so that you could fill your stomachs, okay? But it was a calling to the church to remember not only the death and resurrection of Jesus, but also for looking forward to his coming again. We don't just celebrate his death and resurrection. We celebrate that he's going to come back again. That's what Jesus said, didn't he? Do this in remembrance of me. Keep doing it. When he comes back, we won't need to. So we do it for when he comes back again. Paul makes it very clear to act in such a way as the Corinthians, do it at home. Go outside. Hello. You alright, mate? Sorry. Give him a key to go round. It's a meal. Tammy spoke on this when we did the series on Ruth. And she spoke about the importance of a meal. And I remember she got some people up and you sat around a table at the beginning. And everything was done around the meal. Churches run on meals at times. You know, bring food to this, do food for that. Different things. It's part of our Live 58 project. Our Live 58 project will bring families together. One part of it will bring to bring families together for a meal. You know, Simon's done lots of work, lots of facts and figures and all sorts of stuff, finding out things. And you know what, 50%, I've said it before, 50% of families in this country don't eat together. It's not about having a table, because some houses are not big enough for a table, unless we get them a fold-up table. That'll work, won't it? But it's about actually coming together to eat. And this is what the Lord's Supper was about. Coming together. Okay? It wasn't just the bread and the wine at this point in the early church. It was a meal. It was a meal. That's what they ate together. And they remembered Christ in what he did for them. But listen, this is important. We must care for one another. It's what people see. It's what the people outside the church see. How Christians care for one another. How do the church care for one another? Do they love one another? From what I've seen sometimes, the church has done a lousy job. Sometimes in our church, of loving people. And other times in other churches I've seen it. And it hurts me and it breaks my heart. But I do believe we're in a time of change. That the atmosphere is changing. What people see is people not acting in the right way. We must look at the life of Christ and follow his example of how to live, how to love one another. I want us to read Romans 12. I want us to read Romans 12. I just want to break Romans 12 down, because I love this chapter in Romans. Guys, Romans 12, 1-2. First, we'll start there. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Meditate on his word. Get to know God, his character. See people how God sees them. See, because the thing is, when you see people how God sees them, you can feel how God feels about them. That we don't make a judgment. What we do is go, they're lost. Or I need to pick them up. When we know him, we will know what is good, acceptable and perfect. We need to know God. Look, and I know some people would disagree with me. That's fine. We need to know God. And how do we get to know God? We spend time with him in prayer and we read our Bibles. Okay? But I'm going to say something. That doesn't mean that you need to know your Bible word for word. Okay? It really doesn't mean that. To know God, to know what to do when you're filled with Jesus, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, isn't about knowing every single word, every pen stroke, every full stop, every comma. It's not about that. You're not going to do an exam at the end of the day. You're not going to get to heaven and have to do an exam to see whether you get in. Oh, what's going to happen when you get to heaven? Do you know Jesus? Then we need to go and make sure you're not. We'll pray at the end. All that matters is, do you know Jesus? Have you lived the life that Jesus has called you to? Okay. What's really important is this, that you know what the Bible says. That you know what the Bible says about God. That you know what the Bible says about Jesus. That you know what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. And you understand. See, it's not about knowledge, it's about understanding. Because understanding is that it's in your heart. Okay, and knowing the truth. And it's about when you understand that, also it's knowing what the Bible says about you. That you are loved. That you come from an awesome God. That he has the best plans for you. Although sometimes it's hard to see it in the situation that we find ourselves in. Tells us how to live life. That doesn't mean we have to keep coming back to find out whether we should go and bless someone or whether we should feed the poor. Actually, Jesus already said it, didn't he? Feed the poor, look after the widows, bless people. So you just do it unless God stops you. Verses 3 to 8. Still in Romans 12 for a minute. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. I love that verse. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. We're all different. Skin, tongue, thinking, upbringing. In many ways, we are different. Same as the church in Rome. Same as the church in Corinth. But this is out of all that, Romans 12 has so much in it. But there was just one verse I wanted to see for a moment. And I shared this at the prayer meeting Tuesday as well. It's just blown me away all week. It just really has. So we, though many, are one body in Christ. And individually, members one of another. We talk of family, and we say about family in church, okay? But some, when they hear the word family, think of their entitlement, or think of their responsibility. Some even dread it, some fear, some hate it. If people are feeling that way, that means they've fallen away, taken a tumble, been tricked, and are on the ground. When I think of family, I think of our primary job. And our primary job is to pick up those that have fallen. Family. That's what family does. Someone falls, someone else picks them up. In fact, a few pick them up is always even better. When I think of family, we don't cause others to fall. Verse 5 calls us really deep. One body, members of another. That says when one falls, we all feel the pain. I don't know if I'm correct in this medically. Should have checked with Vaughn. Okay. She's my font of all knowledge medically. So when you cut yourself, cells or whatever they are rush to the spot to bring healing, to stop the blood flow and to bring healing. Well done. So basic medicine, I should go medicine, medical school. So, and that's what the church does, or should. When someone hurts, we should all feel it. And because we're one body, we rush to help, even at a cost to ourselves. Even at a cost to ourselves. Verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honour. When was the last time you showed honour to someone? It's not wrong to show honour. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with that was spoken over me Tuesday. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honourable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let me just say something. Give him something to drink, for by doing so, you'll heap burning coals on his head. That's not so you get one up on someone. It really isn't so that you get one up on somebody, or so you feel the bigger man, the bigger woman. It's just about loving someone. Even if they're your enemy, love them. Because the burning coals thing is the thing of, actually it might bring them to the point of salvation. And knowing Jesus is what it's all about. Okay? I love that. I love this chapter in Romans. But there we go. Back to 1 Corinthians. Back to 1 Corinthians. You know, we're going to finish in a sec. However you did communion, we'll work that in. You know, the Lord's Supper is often called the Eucharist, okay? In the Anglican Church, it's always referred to as the Eucharist. This word comes from the ancient Greek phrase used here for given thanks. Okay? The Last Supper was actually a Passover meal. The breaking of bread and drinking of wine were important parts of the Passover celebration. Jesus took these important pictures and reminders of Israel's deliverance from Egypt and added to them meanings connected with his death on the cross for us. When we come together to remember what he did for us, there needs to be a coming together of family around the table or around the little things that we've got or whatever we're doing today, however we're doing it. Not holding anything back. Not holding anything against others. Not gossiping about others. Joking about others behind their back. Proper unity. Proper unity. Celebrating all the people that God has put around us. As I quoted earlier, Bill Johnson, you can't have unity without diversity. Otherwise, it's uniformity. However we're doing communion this morning, need to work this in there. Take the bread, take the wine. Okay? Do not eat or drink until everybody has it. Okay? I just want us to do something today. I want us to do it in unity. We don't say the blessing, we don't say the words, which are some are great. But you know what? Before you take it and remember what Christ has done for you, I want you to bless someone. I want you to say a blessing over someone. Doesn't have to be some religious form of it. Even if it's, Anthony, bless you, mate. May he continue to build you and strengthen you and bring knowledge into your heart. You know, and grow him into the great man of God that he has destined him to be. Could just sit, be simply, you look awesome today. I love you. I care about you. That can be good as well. Including the youth, including the kids, including the ones who go to the creche normally. Let's do it together. Can I just say as well, don't stand with who you'd normally stand with. It's a bit of a hard one in here. Because it could just be end up a spaghetti junction. But obviously people are sitting, not always, with who they'd normally sit with in church on a Sunday, which is good. Maybe that was God's plan this morning to bring us into this place so we all sat in different places. Actually, pray with someone new this morning. Someone you wouldn't normally bless, someone you wouldn't normally pray for. And then when I say we're going to pray and then we're going to take communion together. Amen. Awesome. So if you just stay where you are for a minute and we will serve you. I think that's going to be the easiest.